about the when this garage started? Was it your father or grandfather?
My father. There was. You want to hear the whole story?
Yes.
There was an old chicken coop here. My dad was born next door to his house, Dick Freeze's house, and he started a little repair shop. So there was an old chicken coop here, and he was working on it one day trying to fix the roof. And he had a neighbor by the name of Dr. Maxson. You ever hear of Dr. Maxson?
I have not.
It's a physician right across the street that way. And he was a good friend of my dad's, and he came over and says, don't bother with this whole thing. He says, tear that thing down and build from scratch, which he did, I mean. So here's, he built this part first, and the other part, this tile, it's a mess, because it's always mortars deteriorating when I was patching. And the other side was poured concrete, which was built about 5 years later. I had the one. He had the first hoist and slinger.
So this is where the first hoist and slinger for
the one on that side, yeah.
On that side.
But it isn't there anymore because a gentleman took it all apart, cleaned it all up, put it in his garage, and he's using it.
He's still using it today.
He just repairs cars for himself.
So go back for a minute. Do you remember the year that your dad built this, or we can look it up? I'm sure it's on Slinger Storco.
I should guess, I'd say in the early 1920s.
Early 1920s. Okay. And what type of, so that's modeled for these kids, probably Model T, Model A. And so was he, the Ford was kind of what his.
Well, I went there from the beginning.
Well, I know, but yeah. what did he tell you?
Well, yeah, mostly Model Ts.
Yeah.
You know, you could get a Model T in any color you wanted as long as it was black.
Yeah.
That was some of Kissel.
How did your dad learn to work on cars?
Well, just that. See, when I started too, you didn't have to be very brilliant. You know, there's no computers then.
Oh.
You had a little gumption and you wanted to work, and there's
sure.
Plenty of work.
Tinker around with it until you figure out.
Use car and so forth.
Boom.
Well,
look around.
I helped them pump gas or something. I never was interested in repairing cars, as a matter of fact. And I graduated from Slinger High School in 1949, and I went to my cousin who ran the Schaefer Organ Company. You ever heard of that?
It was a couple blocks up, but was it the Schaefer Organ Company was the one that we mentioned that has, there's an organ in it. Is it St. Peter's is one still?
Right, and I think St. Lawrence has one.
St. Lawrence has one if you go to those churches.
So I went in there and I asked my cousin for a job, and he not only refused me, he bawled the heck out of me for some reason. So I came back and I said, well, try the garage business once. What do you got to lose? And I was here 57 years.
57 years. It's a lot of memories here. What were some of your favorite memories in working in this garage? Is it the people you met? Is it the cars?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one little story about the women. The woman came in. She wanted some gas for her lawnmower. Excuse me. My wife's saying so good. And I said, what is it? It's the type of engine you got? Two-cycle or four-cycle? Because two-cycle took oil and gas mixture, and the four cycle took the regular gas. So it says, when more you got? She says, I don't know, because I have to know. It says, it's a two cycle, you put oil in it. Well, it says, is it a Bolens? No. Is it a Simplicity? No. Is it a lawn boy? Yeah, it's a lawn boy. And just was ready to pour the oil, and she says, it's the boy who cuts our lawn. She actually had a big riding lawnmower. That's one of
the stories, yeah.
Not that interesting, but.
So when you
excuse me, would you find most machinery is missing? Right, I sold everything.
You sold everything, okay? Yeah. So this, if you could envision when this operating is full of different tools, and was it just you working here, or was
me
it
my dad?
You and your dad, but it wasn't. You didn't have any other employees.
Oh, well, we didn't get richer, but put in enough time.
What was your typical work day like when you? Was it there, as soon as you got up in the morning, you're out here, and then until dark?
Yeah, at 7 o'clock probably, and then until 5, and then go and have supper. And if it was a job that didn't get done, you come in a couple hours after supper.
What were some of the things that you, I guess, developed based on your relationship with cars and people?
Well, I don't know. I'll talk about some dumb stuff. You remember Richard Rosenheimer? You ever heard of Richard?
Rosenheimer, the Rosenheimer name.
Richard, yeah, he was the umpire. He was in the Second World War, but he didn't get across. But then when the war was over, he started for Stork Brewery. And then Stork Brewery, after a couple of years, closed up. So he never had a regular job after that except umpiring baseball games. That was his
job. That was his only job.
You remember, any of you? You don't remember Rosie?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, you know what they called the brick finder, where bricks made there. It was quite a deal, I guess. They made them all in a mound of some kind, and then in the bottom they filled it off with wood and lit it, and then it had to burn until it was all gone. And Richard Rosenheimer,
Rosenheimer.
Well, I'll tell you, he was quite a guy, but he came down one time. He visited me almost every day and was busy while he just watched me work. So he came down one day to visit, and I was greasing a car, and 5 minutes later he left. And I says, "Rosie, what's the matter?" He says, "I can't come to the man is sitting in my chair." It was the only chair that had armrests on. He says, "I haven't had a chair with armrests." So I told the gentleman, I said, "Would you mind? He needs his chair because he has to have armrests." Oh, sure. He moved to a different chair. Guess what? He refused to sit the whole day. Afternoon he was here, he wouldn't sit in that chair just to be stubborn. He sat on.
Wow. So he just figured that was his chair, and if anybody else is sitting in it, he didn't want to sit that day.
Yeah. So where would you sit when your customers were waiting? Right here?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, this is where you were.
This is a guy who wants to know something.
What is like the name for that thing?
That's a pot belly stove.
U.S. Army on it, doesn't it?
Yeah, that story behind the stove, too, you're going to hear that.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
A friend of mine, one of our customers, a guy who was some farmer, and he was driving along, and he's seen a guy coming along with about 6 or 8 of these stoves on his big truck, and he some way got him to stop him. He blew the horn at him, whatever he did. The guy pulled over, he says, "Where are you going?" He says, "I'm from Camp McCoy, and we're taking these down for some for scrap iron in Milwaukee." Oh, he says, "You can't do that." He bought the whole lot of them there, and he sold them to people around here. And my dad bought one, and a couple of other guys bought them.
In the 70s in particular, were you still working on cars in the 70s when they started to get worried about emissions and things like that?
I didn't check the emissions.
Yeah.
I started here in 1949, and I worked till 2007.
2007, okay.
I couldn't take care of it. As far as the emission thing, I was checking out because I didn't have the equipment.
Yeah.
So that's basically why I quit on the end, because... lost so much business because you couldn't do the whole thing. And the guy come in once this done, that done, and then it didn't have the computer. So it was always
still coming up and getting filled up?
Yeah, sure, but it wasn't self-serve.
Oh, sure.
It wasn't self-serve, but you had to make sure you had to... A lot of times guys would come up and think it was self-serve, and they started going,
Full-serve, could you tell them what is involved in a full-service stop at the gas station that they may not know?
Well, you fill it up, then you check the oil, then you check the tires, then you check the radiator, and that's full serve.
Yeah.